Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we're talking about the new Jordan Peele movie, Nope. This is the third movie that he has directed after Get Out and also Us. And so we'll talk about this one, kind of our thoughts on him advancing as a director and where this one ranks in terms of the other two, because we've both seen all three of them at this point, even though we're both not real big fans of horror movies, but we go see these. So
yes,
that's not one of our favorite genres, but we have seen all three of these. So we'll talk about Nope a little bit later on in this episode. We do have some news items, though. Some big things happened this week. First up, Ricky Martin was accused of incest allegations by his nephew. I don't know how much of this is... This is still being investigated, I think. I don't know how much of this is actually true. We should say nothing has been, like, finalized yet, but Ricky Martin is very hurt by those allegations. Yeah. But it seems like this is still kind of in the early stages right now.
Yeah, and I feel really bad about it, too. I just knew, like, I keep hearing about it, so I thought it might be worth mentioning. Obviously, those are very serious and unsettling allegations that I hope are not true. I do think it's a weird thing to kind of bring up or make up as a story, but perhaps that's what's going on here. But we'll keep you posted if we find something out. But I don't know a whole lot right now other than it was his nephew accusing him.
Yeah, I don't really either. And then the other thing is Shakira could go to prison for up to 8 years and face a $23 million fine for tax evasion, tax fraud in Spain. So... Yeah, that's kind of wild. No,
she's,
I mean,
also what I've seen is like she's acting real cool, calm, and collected about it. Even if I wasn't guilty, I would not be cool, calm, and collected. I would be like, oh my dear God, let's get every W-2 we have. Let's get everything organized. Like I'd be getting the documents out for them to complete an audit, even if somebody didn't ask for them.
Yeah, I think when you become a celebrity, one of the most important things is probably getting a good like manager, like that manages your entire career, and then a good financial advisor to manage your money. So I think both those things are probably important. It sounds like Shakira maybe did not have that in place because of these tax allegations. So,
correct.
And then the other news item that was a big story this week is that there was a study done by a company called Yard. And basically what they did is they kind of researched all of these celebrities and how often they use their private jets, because there was a story that came out about a week before that said Kylie Jenner would use her jet in California and take like 3-minute, 5-minute jet trips to get from like one side of town to the other, basically, when, you know, you could drive for 30 minutes or whatever. And obviously that uses a lot of like fuel and creates a lot of carbon emissions and is not good for the environment. But anyway, they did this study and Rolling Stone put the whole like piece out with all the information, and they found that Taylor Swift was the one who used her jet the most.
Number like 100 one offender.
And I'm trying to find the number here, but it's from the beginning of 2020 or 2022, excuse me, that she's used her plane 170 times so far this year, her private jet. Now, she came out, her team or whatever came out and clarified that not all of those flights she was on, but still, that's her jet being used 170 times.
Yeah,
we're only like halfway. That's about once per day up to this point in the year that she's used her jet. So
it's really bad. And you know what? Part of me was like really okay with Taylor Swift being the offender, because I feel like it's hard to find anything wrong with Taylor Swift, and she is so conscious of so many other things that she does. So I was kind of surprised this was like her news, but in a way I was kind of like, oh, so she is normal. Like she does make some large mistakes. Mm-hmm. I just think it's, I don't know that it's hypocritical for her. If I heard that Leonardo DiCaprio was the number one offender, I'd be upset, because like he is very vocal about the environment. If it was Al Gore, I'd be like, really, Al? But Taylor, I'm like, well, at least I've not heard her talk about the environment. But yeah, that's irresponsible. And and I know people like stalk her and have threatened her and stuff, but I feel like that is something that comes with fame, and it is not okay under any circumstances. But you can wear a disguise and ride on a plane, like
also
with normal people.
A lot of bigger artists will use jets when they're like on tour or whatever, like doing concerts.
Yeah,
but she hasn't been on tour this year, so it's not like she's using this jet to like go from a concert back to her house or whatever, one of her houses. It's just like she's just flying a bunch of different places, or members of her team or her friends are using the jet to go a lot of different places. So,
and I know we're all like, well, I can't speak for everyone. I'm definitely freaked about riding on a plane soon, like with a lot of people because of the rise in COVID cases. I mean, that's part of my job and I see how bad it's getting. But I also think like that's the risk you take if you choose to go somewhere and there's precautions you could take, like wearing a mask, getting vaccinated, boosted, all that. So I just don't know why she's doing it or why she feels like it's acceptable for her when nobody else really can afford to do that and nobody else is hurting the environment in that way.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good point. So we do have one correction on this episode before we move into our recommendations. And it has to do with last week's episode where we talked about the gray man.
Yes, it's all my fault. I said Ryan Reynolds at least twice, I think three times, when I was definitely talking about Ryan Gosling. And I wanted to bring that up just to let you know, like, I'm aware of it. We can't fix it. What's done is done. But it was totally my bad. So I just wanted to point that out, that I did that. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you, Jared, what was more like a what do you think, but also how interesting. I watched him in an interview. Ryan Gosling, I mean, the one I love.
Yes.
He was in an interview the other day and he said his name and he said, I'm Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
Now, most of us say, now he's Canadian, but I assume he knows his name because it's his name.
Yeah.
So he said Gosling. A lot of us say Gosling.
Like, yeah, like with two S's. Like
a
yes. Yep.
Like I imagine he almost says it like it sounds like a Z. The rest of us are saying like a short S, like Gosling.
Okay.
So interesting, but if anyone hears me say Gosling, it's only because I am trying to do what he said. But interesting. Just wanted to point it out. What are your thoughts?
I feel like it's probably Gosling, like with the Z. Since that's how he's saying it. But I feel like he doesn't really care if people say it the other way either. I think he knows that that's just kind of going to happen. So I feel like he's okay with it. He seems like a pretty chill guy. So
he really does.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's probably just saying it Gosling, like with the Z. But I know some celebrities get real annoyed if you say their name incorrectly. Like Camila Cabello gets real offended if you screw that up. Yeah, yeah.
But what if you're not like Latinx, like you don't know? Like I sound like a fool when I try to say anything Spanish or anything like that.
Yeah.
But wow. And then I guess this isn't a correction, but we might as I think it's fun. I was talking to my brother today, very exciting, and he didn't listen to the Thor episode yet because he hasn't seen the movie, so he don't want to ruin it.
Okay, fair.
He did know we did The Gray Man, but he hasn't listened to that yet, but he was really excited about it. But he said to me, I loved that they chose to use a niece as the person instead of like a daughter or whatever, like the person that's in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Sean, twin vibe, because that is literally what I said in the episode. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. Like he made it sound like he played it off. Like, first of all, like he believes in the twin vibe, which he doesn't, everyone. And then secondly, he played it off like, yeah, I knew all along we were thinking the same thing. He didn't. But I thought it was very cool that that was what he mentioned to me on the phone. So shout out to Sean for the twin vibe.
Nice. And now we'll move into our recommendations. We'll also mention neither of us won Mega Millions. So we're not, unfortunately, a billionaire at this point. So
maybe
that's okay.
Time.
We'll get through it. We'll keep chugging along and we'll be fine. But we do have some recommendations. I don't have a lot this week. So you can go first with yours and I'll think of anything.
You know, I actually had trouble too, Jared, because I've just been kind of a hot mess express lately, but I just gave in and I started the second season of Married at First Sight on Netflix. I talked about this last week, but this season is in New Orleans, and New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in the United States, and I go almost every year, and I'm excited. I'm digging it. There are some people on the season I absolutely loathe, but for the most part, it's entertaining, but I like this season better because of where it's located. And then The Bear, I wanted to just catch you up, Jared. I started The Bear. We are six episodes in, so we only have two left. Absolutely loving it. It's already been renewed, by the way. They said it's already been renewed.
I saw that for season two, yeah.
Yes. And then really the thing I did want to talk about, I finished this book called Something Wilder yesterday by Christina Lauren. Just to clarify, it's called Something Wilder, and I finished it yesterday, by Christina Loren. And they're super popular. I've talked about them before. I guarantee almost any woman that listens to this podcast is going to know who I'm talking about. The reason I wanted to mention it is I noticed that the ratings for it were a lot lower than their normal books are. And I think what I want to give people my personal take, I really enjoyed it. I just like their style. I like their writing. It's often easy reading, but really joyful. Like, it's uplifting. It's not going to bring you down. It's often romance and fun and whatever. So this book, though, was like kind of a thriller. There was a murder in it. I'll just say that, which I haven't read all of their books, but I've read quite a few, and there's never been a murder before in the ones I've read. So I wonder if people were just shocked because it's not their normal, like, romance, rom-com situation. There was definitely a romance in it, but it definitely takes place not on a beach or anything. It's, like, out west in the Wild West. There's a lot of nature. There is a love story, but there's also a murder and a crime. So I wonder if that's why people didn't like it. But I really enjoyed it. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars on Goodreads. So, again, that was Something Wilder by Christina Loren.
I guess that probably was the reason, because, like, if you're, say you're, like, a fan of Stephen King and, you know the type of book that he writes, and then he just goes off and writes, like a romance or science fiction or something like that, you're like, okay, this is not the normal vibe for a Stephen King book. So maybe that's why people were a little just not as high on it as their other books. But good to know that you liked it. So
thank you.
And now, well, I don't really have anything this week. I can't really think of anything. I've been watching Only Murders in the Building, but I don't really like this. I'm not a huge fan of the second season so far. At least 4 episodes in. That's what I've gotten through so far.
I like it, but I think I like it because I'm paying more attention. I think the first season, I was really engaged the first few episodes, and then I kind of like watched it while I was doing something else or eating or like texting. So I think I might just like this one because I know what's going on better. But really, I don't... it's not something I go to as a critical, like, award darling kind of a show. Mm-hmm. I just think it's entertaining because of who's in it.
Yeah, and it's not like, for me, it's not like The Bear, where, like, once I started watching that, I wanted to watch the next episode, like, pretty quickly. Yeah. This is just kind of like, whenever I get a chance, I'll be like, okay, let's watch another episode of that. So it's not really, like, captivating me like maybe the first season did. So,
well, and I like The Bear. I am surprised by it because I didn't realize what it would revolve around. Like, when you mentioned that his brother had died, I didn't know what the situation was there, and I thought it would, I don't know, I guess I had a different picture in my head about the show.
Okay,
but I am really enjoying it. It's made me realize that I really can't cook at all, like, to save my life. I can't do it.
Yeah, cooking is stressful. That's what I've gotten from The Bear. Oh my god,
yeah, it stresses me out. And I've cooked, I've worked in many restaurants. I think I've worked in 4. As a server, as a to-go person, as a, you know, like, I've done drive-through at restaurants, things like that. But I've never been a cook because I shouldn't be. I'm unqualified. But anyway, it's a good show. It's just like, in my brain, I think I thought it was going to be different, but I'm really enjoying it, and I'm eager to finish the last 2. I think I'm gonna like stay up tonight and do it.
Nice. So
yeah.
So we'll get into our discussion of Nope now, released on July 22nd of 2022. It's rated R for some violence, bloody images, and language throughout. Runtime, we have another debate on the runtime. 2 hours 10 versus 2 hours 15 minutes.
Right.
Not sure which one it is.
Like, what? Which? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little over 2 hours. There you go. Yes. That's the runtime. And IMDb, it's a 7.5 out of 10. It's a pretty high. Critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 81. Audience, 69. Audience is not liking this as much.
I was surprised by that.
I have some thoughts on why. Yeah.
Okay. Which
we'll talk about it in a little bit. So
yeah.
And then box office wise, it's made $80 million domestically and worldwide. I don't know if it's come out in other countries yet, but $80 million so far in the U.S., which is pretty good for a horror thriller movie. And the synopsis for this one is: the residents of a lonely gulch in inland California bear witness to an uncanny and chilling discovery. And we have some critics' reviews. First up, we have Adam Naiman of The Ringer, who says, "Whereas Us had the feeling of a director straining to outdo his prior achievements, Jordan Peele's third film strikes a perfect balance between inspiration and perspiration.
Yes.
And then next up, we have John Wenzel of the Denver Post, who says Peele is well on his way to being among those who have refocused the art form, and Nope will ensure that we keep watching. I think that's a good quote because he is doing horror movies, but he's doing them in a different way than, say, you know, The Conjuring or Paranormal Activity or something like that, where it's just totally relying on like jump scares, basically. He's really trying to do more psychological horror, which you just don't see a lot of nowadays. Him and probably Ari Aster, who did Hereditary and Midsommar, are probably the two that I would look at to say they're kind of doing different like horror movies than everybody else. So,
do you know, I still haven't seen Midsommar. I'm too scared of it.
It's an experience for sure. So
yeah, maybe
I mean,
one of
Florence
these days
is in it. Yeah,
I know. Love her. Love.
So finally, we have Neil Manow of Movie Mom, who says Jordan Peele's new film Nope does not have the depth of cultural commentary of his Oscar-winning script for Get Out or his follow-up Us, but it's a smart, scary movie with a strong storyline, great performances, and clever details.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is directed by Jordan Peele, who wrote and directed Get Out, which was his first movie, Us, and Nope. He also wrote the screenplay for Candyman, which we reviewed in episode 119. That was a pretty solid movie. I think we both enjoyed that. So
also, I think he was a producer or something for Black Klansman, because when I was looking up Oscar situations, he was involved in that too. Yeah.
Okay. That would make sense. And he's been
nominated. I'll check if he was a producer. I don't want to say that incorrectly.
He's been nominated for 3 Oscars, and in 2018 he won Best Original Screenplay for Get Out. His first screenplay he ever wrote, feature length film, won an Oscar for it, so that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any upcoming projects listed, but will be acting in Wendell and Wild and Abruptio. So both of those scheduled to come out in the future, and he'll be acting in those. Yes.
He was, in fact, a producer of Black Klansman. Yes.
Okay, very nice. So we will take a quick break here on the show. We'll come back. We'll talk about our likes and our dislikes and the cast for Nope. Welcome back on the Silver Screen Podcast. We are talking about Nope today, the new movie from Jordan Peele. Not a large cast in this movie. Most of his movies have a pretty small cast. If you look at this, and then Us was just a couple of people in that cast as well. Same with Get Out. That's not a very large cast either. And this movie, Daniel Kaluuya is back, who was in Get Out. He's returned for another Jordan Peele project, and he plays O.J. Haywood.
Yes, thank you so much, Jared. I thought it was a joke at first that his name was O.J., but it's not. But I think they kind of even made that into a joke at the beginning of the film. Daniel Kaluuya is an English actor best known for Get Out, Black Panther, Judas and the Black Messiah, and Queen and Slim. He's been nominated for acting Oscars for Get Out and Judas and the Black Messiah, and in 2021, he won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for his role in Judas and the Black Messiah. That is one of my favorite... That was... Might have been my favorite film that year. I can't remember, but Jared and I both really, mm-hmm. really liked that film.
Yeah.
Also, if you recall, during that Oscar speech, he gave one of the weirdest speeches I think any of us have ever heard. It just got worse and worse. He talked about his parents... making love, shall we say, in order to give birth to him. So
it was kind of all over the place. Yeah,
it got real weird. And then if you watch him in any interview, period, he's that weird in any interview. It's just very strange. And he said, I watched him on either Colbert or Seth Meyers recently, and it was the four of them. It was like Jordan Peele and the three main cast people. And he even said, his mom said, please stop talking about me. So I thought that was hilarious. Next up, though, you can see him in The Upper World, which is in pre-production. And I did look. He is currently not listed in Black Panther, like the new one.
Okay. The second. Yeah. Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't say that I remember everything about his character and that performance in that particular movie, but I was surprised that he wasn't. I don't think he died.
I think he had a very minor part in the beginning of the movie, if I remember correctly. It's been a few years since I've watched that, but I don't think he was like a main character in that movie, if I remember correctly. So maybe they just didn't bring it back. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Daniel Kaluuya. Next up, we have Kiki Palmer. She plays Emerald Haywood. What a great name. We just talked about her in episode 153 when we covered Lightyear. She did a voice of an animated character in that. She is best known for Hustlers, Alice, and Pimp. Next up, you can see her in several projects, including the TV series The Hospital and the movie Being Mortal. Lastly, we have a newcomer, Brandon Perea. Thank you, Jared. I definitely have a crush on this person. He plays Angel Torres in the film. Oh, Lord. I had not seen him before. I saw him in the trailer, and I gotta say, I hate his hair. I hate everything about his hair in this film. But I saw him, in the movie, though. Like, everything about his build, his muscles, I mean, wow. What? And then he was so charming in real life when he was in that same interview I just referenced. But he is a newcomer, and he's younger than me. So, you know, we probably, you know, it's same old over here.
Yeah.
He is originally from Chicago, Illinois, and he shares a birthday with my dad. I thought that was cool. This is only his second acting credit. He was in the OA, that show, for quite a while. Like, it was listed. There were a lot of episodes listed, and now he's in this. He doesn't have upcoming projects listed yet, but I'm pretty sure based on this performance in this movie and the notoriety of Jordan Peele, it's just a matter of time till we see him all over the place. And this movie is also, it has a really good supporting cast, but some of them don't have huge roles, but a lot of them you know them from something. So this is also starring Steven Yeun, who we love on this podcast, Michael Wincott, Ren Schmidt, Keith David, and Barbie Ferreira, I think is how you say it. She's on Euphoria. I apologize that I might have said her name wrong, I think that's how you say it. Yeah.
So that's everybody that's in this movie, Nope, and we'll talk about our likes now. First, we've already talked about it a little bit, but the cast is really good in this particular movie. When you have Daniel Kaluuya, who's been nominated for 2 Oscars and has won an Oscar already, you know you're probably going to get a pretty solid performance. I thought the dynamic with him and Kiki Palmer worked very well. It was very believable that they would be brother and sister. They played that off very well. So, and Steven Yeun's character, I really liked his character as well. So I think everybody just gave a really good performance in this film.
I did too. I think Steven Yeun is a fantastic actor. I've liked him in everything I've seen. He was one of those people that had kind of like a medium-sized part. He was important to the film. Brandon Perea didn't show up till like a quarter of the way through the film, but he obviously played a pivotal role. But I'd never seen him before, and based on what I just said, he has not been in a lot of things. And then Kiki Palmer, I knew, but I had never really seen her in a large, really like main character role, and I thought she was fantastic. I was really blown away by her. I knew Daniel would be good because I think he's strange in real life but an excellent actor. So it was just nice, like Jordan Peele does a really good job of that, where he picks some people, either some unknowns or a new face or someone that has not maybe had a main part yet. But then he always gets someone that's like a big name that you're going to want to see. But he does a really good job of that. And I like that, too, because there's no favoritism there, really.
And I like, too, with the characters, how they had a decent amount of, you got their personality like very early on. Like that one of the earlier scenes in the movie is them on that film set. Daniel Kaluuya's character, OJ, is there with the horse, and he's waiting on Kiki Palmer, Emerald, to show up so that they can start shooting this commercial. And of course, he's like there on time and just very cool and chill. And she's running in and she's late and she's just very loud and energetic. And that's kind of how the whole movie goes with those two characters, which creates a kind of a comedy dynamic as well, which all three of his movies have had elements of comedic stuff in them as well, even though they're primarily horror thriller movies. So I think that worked really well. So
they're not to obsess over this, but their dynamic did remind me of me and Sean, because I do feel like we have very different personalities, and it's not unusual for me to show up somewhere and be like very like, hey, how you doing, and out of breath and excited and enthusiastic, and Sean to just be like really chill. So it's not like I'm incapable of that, but it's not my norm. So I just laughed at them because a lot of things they did together, I was like, oh, it's like watching me and Sean. And then they also were willing to do anything to save the other one. So I do think that's also true for us. Yeah.
So we'll talk about the horror thrower aspect of this now. And I feel like for the rest of this, it's going to be hard to talk about without getting into spoilers. Probably from this point on, I would say, if you haven't seen the movie Nope, come back after and listen to the rest of this, because it's hard to discuss this movie without talking about spoilers. But this movie is not, I don't think it's as scary as Us or as Get Out. It's thrilling, it's suspenseful, but whereas Us had way more like blood and gore in that movie. People stabbing each other with knives and all that stuff. And Get Out is just a very kind of horrifying concept in terms of you go to somebody's house and you realize that like they could possibly, your girlfriend could possibly be a murderer. You know, those are like very chilling concepts. Here it's more sci-fi, aliens, spaceships, things like that. But even though it was kind of different, it was still suspenseful and scary at times, even though it was kind of different than like his other two movies.
Yes, I agree with you, Jared. I wondered if this affected people's rating or thinking about the film, but I liked, well, I was almost as scared as those other ones. I kind of liked the departure from violence, but what I liked about this one in particular compared to his other two is this was, or what I found scarier, is that this seems more likely to me that this could happen, that aliens could be real, that, and I'm not someone that like sees a star in the sky and goes, oh my God, I saw a UFO. I'm not like that deep in it, but I do think there's absolutely a likelihood of other life forms elsewhere, that we're not the only ones. So I think that it's more likely this would happen rather than something like Get Out, which was awesome and a great concept and super scary. But I do think this was very much a standalone and very different than his other two films. But I liked it, and I found it to be scary for different reasons. And I liked that it was less violent. That made it interesting in a different way.
Another like for this one is the sound design, the music, and also the sound effects as well. Both of those are very well done. I would say that's one reason to see it in a theater is the sound. Is there are numerous points during this movie where I noticed the sound and the way that they were kind of putting things in different speakers or making it sound like something was behind you or maybe in front of you, depending on where the main character was on the screen. So the sound design and the mix and the music in this was really good.
Yeah, I like how you say that, too, because I think he picks really good music for the film. I do notice that in all three of his films, that he picks good song selections. But I agree with you. It was like the sound design and the sound editing that was so interesting. Also, even things like when the aliens were coming and stuff and the radio would stop playing, or you would just hear, you know, we don't notice it usually, but lights, if lights are on and stuff, it's making a sound. And then when it's the lights are turned off, it gets really quiet. He did such a good job of that. And that made it very spooky to me.
And I think along with the sound and like how that stuff turned off when the aliens would show up, I thought the end of the film was very like clever. And the fact that they were using like those blow up wavy things that you see at the car dealerships, basically.
Yes.
And they would, they would know where the spaceship is when those turned off because they didn't have any power anymore. So that was just a neat way to do that. And you see those in the trailer and you're kind of wondering, how are these going to be used in the movie? But they are used in a really good way near the end of the film. So
I wanted to know what those were called because I've heard them called something. It says a tube man, also known as Sky Dancer, Air Dancer, and originally called Tall Boy.
Okay.
So there
Very
you go.
Nice. I'll just get one and put it outside my apartment. I'm sure
that won't have any problems. Yeah, I've already ordered 16, so.
Cool. Mm-hmm. another like for this movie is there's a lot of ideas and concepts and thoughts going on that, you know, it's a Jordan Peele movie, so he's trying to get across some deeper meaning things than just the plot of the movie. But there's a lot to say in this movie about entertainment, how we treat people in terms of what role they have. You have, of course, Daniel Kaluuya's character and Kiki Palmer. They're horse trainers. Their great-great-great-grandfather was, you know, first man to ride on a horse on a motion picture. And so they have these horses for Hollywood productions, movies, and TV shows and things. But it's very interesting in the beginning of the movie how you see that they're not treated very highly when they're on set. At one point, the horse freaks out, and they're just like, okay, well, we don't need you. We'll just use a prop horse, basically a green screen, instead of a real horse. And then also, kind of later in the movie, along with that entertainment aspect, Steven Yeun's character is kind of commercializing the seeing of these aliens and of this spaceship by having people come out to this like theme park type thing and paying money to possibly see something that could kill them, which, spoiler alert, it does kill them in the movie. So both of those are interesting things about like how far do we go with like entertainment value for certain things.
Yes, I agree with you on that. And I found that to be really interesting because, you know, we see like these teasers, these really good trailers and teasers for his film, but it doesn't give a lot away. So I was even wondering, like, what do these people do on this farm? What's their job? How are they all connected? So it was interesting to see that their job was actually to be horse trainers. And I thought that was a fun element. I love when there's a movie about filmmaking, like the movie is about making a movie or something. Like, I loved that La La Land is about people who are really trying to make it as actors, but it's actors playing actors. I think that's fun. So I liked that this was set kind of in, like, a Hollywood-style situation. So that was neat. And then also, I did want to let people know, I don't know everything about this. I had seen The Black Man Riding a Horse, that film, and I knew it was one of, like, the earliest pieces of footage. It wasn't... They're not sure that the first person ever in a motion picture was black, but that film, that image that Jordan Peele used, that clip, is real. I just don't know. It doesn't seem like it's valid that it was, like, the first piece of footage ever for motion pictures.
Yeah, yep. So, another, like, is the spaceship looks cool in this movie. It kind of looks like a cowboy hat, which with the whole Western thing going on makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
And the opening is, like, where you would put your head in a cowboy hat. That's just kind of a neat design for something like that.
I thought so, too. And to me, I think one of my dislikes actually is about the aliens, but I liked the look of the spaceship itself, especially when it would, like, suck people up, when it was kind of moving around. I thought that seemed very plausible, and it looked really interesting. Like you said, Jared, I noticed the hat thing as well, that it kind of looked like a Stetson or something. But I thought that was a really good element and kind of a nice take on what we normally see depictions of what we think spaceships look like.
Another, like, I had in this movie was the lighting. A lot of this movie takes place at night, mm-hmm. and a lot of times when you do have things that happen at night, it can be very hard sometimes to see that on a screen. It's just sometimes way too dark in a movie. This movie was not the case. I thought he shot the nighttime scenes very well. They were very well lit. You could see everything. I don't know if they did that on site, like they just used the lights when they were filming it, or if in post-production they kind of brightened it up a little bit, but I thought it was very easy to kind of see the whole movie, which is not always the case with a movie that can have a lot of nighttime sequences in it. But he did that really well in Us as well. A lot of that movie is kind of dark or takes place at night, and same thing in that one. You can see really well, but sometimes that's not always the case.
Yes, that's a really good thing to point out that I noticed but didn't put as a like for me. But that leads into basically my last point about likes can be summarized in just an appreciation for Jordan Peele. I feel like he makes really beautiful films. Beautiful, like, the concept is interesting, the idea is interesting, and he makes it, like, a sensory overload, not an overload in a bad way. Like, everything he does affects your senses, what you're hearing, what you can imagine you're tasting or seeing. Like, if there's a lot of blood, it's like you almost feel like it's running down your body. I don't know how to describe it, but I think he is a true master of this genre. And I think he is like Hitchcock today, except a black man, and also, well, he's biracial, but also the fact that he was not creepy like Hitchcock, who was like a crazy dude. I won't get into that. That's for another podcast.
Yeah,
I just think he does beautiful, beautiful films. And even if I'm like, because I am, like Jared mentioned, very scared of horror films. It's not my genre. Like, slasher films, I think, are a waste of my time personally. But something like suspense, when you can really be a master of that, I will watch anything. And I think this is both a like and a dislike. I think because his films are so well thought out, and often a little bit, like, there's just so much to see, I do think it's something where you have to watch it multiple times to fully appreciate and understand what the concept he's trying to get across. Or you'll miss something, like you'll miss, I don't know, an alien eating someone. You missed that the first time. I don't know. I don't have a good example for that, but I think that's a like and a dislike. But I think he's just a true master of suspense, and I will watch anything Jordan Peele, like, has his name attached to.
Yeah, I definitely want to go see this again, either in theaters or when it comes to streaming or on DVD, because I think there will be more things that you would pick up definitely on a second viewing. So
yes.
We'll move on to our dislikes now. We don't have too many for this movie, but one dislike is the aliens. They didn't really look that different from any other aliens. There's that scene where there's the kids and they're in, like, the alien costumes, which you think might be the aliens at first, but are not. But that scene was very scary.
That spooked. Oh my gosh. I was freaked out when that was happening. And anytime someone's head turns to the side, but their eyes don't move, that's creepy on a human, like, in broad daylight in an office, if someone does that. That's like, stop it. Get away from me.
But the aliens in general just didn't look, they weren't anything unique, kind of like the spaceship or other things like that. They're just kind of your basic aliens.
Yeah, I the aliens let me down, really. They were super scary, what they could do and what that spaceship could do and everything. And they seemed murderous, of course, but they didn't scare me, like, look-wise. I kind of thought, oh, that looks like those cartoon aliens you would get at a carnival or something. Because I know, because I had one, a lime green alien that I won at a fair once. I think my dad won it for me. But anyway, that doesn't matter. We'll contact him later. But I still to this day think the aliens in Signs were the scariest aliens I've ever seen. And I don't know if they were realistic or what it was about them, but no, I don't think any alien has scared me more than Signs with Mel Gibson. Yeah,
that one is super creepy. So
yeah.
Another dislike is this movie feels a little long. I think it feels long in the second act. I think the first act is good. The third act is really good. But in the middle, there's a lot of setup where they're like getting ready to capture footage of the UAP and the spaceship and try to get that on video, where it's like a lot of just kind of things are happening to get ready for that moment. But I feel like some of that possibly could have been cut out just a little bit.
Another dislike for me was that I personally did not quite understand the connection with the chimp slaughter situation during the TV show versus the aliens. Now, I think part of it could have been we're introduced to that chimp story right when the movie starts, and it's right after you see the production company where because Jordan Peele's production company is Monkey Paw, and we see a creepy monkey hand stirring a teacup. It's very spooky. It's honestly probably one of the best graphics I've ever seen for a production company, but I know a monkey is different from a chimpanzee. I'm just saying, like, it was almost too soon where I kind of thought, is this still part of the beginning, you know, the like, not the trailer, but the credit opening part? So that took me out of it. And then also, I know that Jordan Peele does this sometimes where he'll be like, I'm going to show you something spooky and then I'm going to show you another thing. I think this happened in Candyman. And then it comes together where you go, oh, I see how these are connected. And I think he tried with this. And I think the chimpanzee thing was really crazy and spooky. But I don't quite understand the connection to aliens. I don't know why he had to do that when he could have just said, like, Steven Yeun, we could have understood that he works at this ranch place and does these shows and kind of exploits different animals and people. I don't know that we needed to see like a chimp eating people on a TV production. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think the main one theory I saw with that I don't know how accurate it is that, you know, in that scene, Steven Yeun's character is obviously a child and the chimp kind of goes and terrorizes everybody else on set but him. So it allows him to live. And then the comparison with that, based on the fact that he's basically like sacrificing horses so that people can see aliens, like, just doesn't care if a horse dies or whatever. I thought I saw something that was kind of maybe that's the connection there, is that, like,
interesting,
an animal spared his life, but then he's killing
animals
to possibly profit. Yeah, so that I don't know how accurate that is, but that was one possible theory I saw with
that's
the reason
smart.
That's in the movie, because it is kind of. It's different from the rest of the movie. So, like you said, I would like to know more on why that's totally included in there. So, another dislike is near the end of the movie, sometimes it's hard to tell what's going on with the actual physical spaceship.
Yes.
Obviously, you find out in the movie that if a character looks up at the spaceship, they're basically going to die. So, all the characters try to make sure to not look at the spaceship. But there's sometimes in that final sequence where you can't see the spaceship very well, and there's like a scene where like Daniel Kaluuya's character kind of wrangles the spaceship into like a certain area. I just thought that was kind of maybe that the effects on that weren't great, because I just kind of lost, you know, I mean, we're trying to follow where the spaceship is the whole time. I kind of lost it a couple parts in that final like sequence.
Yes. Yeah, and I this could be something too where maybe this would be aided by me watching it another time or another few times, but yeah, I felt the same way about the alien, like the spaceship, because of the way it was moving and like how it kind of, I don't even know a way to describe this on a podcast without showing it, but it seemed like almost a mouth or something opened to collect people to like zoom it up, beam them up. But I couldn't tell what was happening sometimes with it. And I found that to be confusing. And I think I was paying attention. Like, I don't really think it's not like I was dozing off or not looking at the screen. I just got a little lost at what was happening. And then I think the last thing, Jared, this might be me being too critical. Or just finding something to pick on. But I usually am not someone that's critical about sci-fi or anything like that because I don't know as much about those genres and usually it goes over my head. But I did think it was weird that there was only one alien spaceship coming to attack people. And like once they took that spaceship out, they were like, we're all good. The human race can go on. And I kind of thought, I really doubt that if aliens could figure out how to like come kill us and collect people and eat them and everything, that there would just be one of them, like one spaceship with some aliens, they could be destroyed and they would never come back. I found that to be kind of weird, but maybe that's me like reaching.
No, I think that's a good point. I think because there's a decent amount of characters and locations in this movie, you maybe expect there to be more. Whereas like a movie like Signs that also has aliens, yes, that kind of takes place entirely on like that farm that Mel Gibson lives
right,
on.
Right, it's like isolated. Yes. Yeah,
and so it makes sense that maybe there'd only be one in that situation, mm-hmm, that was like trying to terrorize that family. Whereas yeah, in this movie, it's like, okay, we have the, you know, we have that theme park area. We have Daniel Kaluuya's and Kiki Palmer's house that's kind of, yep, they're targeting that. We have maybe the electronics store where Angel works at, all these different locations that I think, like you said, maybe it would be useful to have a couple. Now, we don't know if that was the same one we saw throughout the whole movie either. That could have been different, right, spaceships or whatever, but it seemed like that was the same one throughout the entire film, which, like you said, seems a little unrealistic. So,
right.
Okay, on to our grades for Nope. I think you're first this time, so...
Yes.
What are you going to score it?
I told you this already, secretly. I instantly regret every grade I ever give, because... I think it's hard too because we give like a percentage. Letterboxd is stars. Like there's, I think that's what's holding me up because I'm someone that sees a movie and I'm like, that was great. And then when I reflect on it and think about it, I'm like, but maybe it wasn't so good. Or maybe it wasn't as good as I thought. Or maybe it's not as good as I remember. So all that being said, I'm going to give it an 82.
Okay.
But I look at some of the movies I've rated higher this year and I'm kind of like, ooh, I think I liked this better than those. But I'm not going to change every score I've ever given. I'll just go 82. I really liked this. I was not disappointed. I did think it was a touch too long. And I think there was a lot that I missed that can be easily remedied by watching it a couple more times. But I thought it was a very original concept. I liked that it was a departure from the just graphic violence and spooky things that we don't normally see. Because to me, it just seemed like something that could possibly happen to us. There's really no evidence to say that it wouldn't happen. So I thought it was great and it was beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go close to you and give it an 84. So I have it right now on my list. It's I like sci-fi movies a little bit more than you do.
I know, but
so.
I really liked this and it was one of, on Letterboxd, it's in my top 10.
It's in my top 10 as well. It's number 5 right now of the movies we've seen this year. So
it's, oh, I think it's number 4 on mine, but it might move. Who knows? Well,
okay. Okay,
you know,
yeah,
guys,
it's still early. We still have a lot of Oscar movies, but yeah.
Should I change the score?
It's one of the better movies we've seen this year.
I know.
Now's the time to do it.
Okay, I'm going 84. I have to go 84 because the other ones I was looking at and debating, yeah, it's 84. Great.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
So 84 is from both of us for Nope, so... Definitely go check it out in the theaters. Even if you're not a fan of horror movies, I would still suggest it. It's scary, but it's not like jump scares, blood and guts, stuff like that. So if you like suspense, thriller, sci-fi, I would definitely check this out. So you can follow the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook, and our Letterboxd profiles are also in the description for this episode. Just scroll down. You can click on the links right there and see the Letterboxd profiles for myself and Katie. Next week, we're going to do a movie that I feel like I have been seeing trailers for a freaking year. It's
years,
finally
yeah,
coming out. Every movie I go see at AMC, this trailer is like before the movie. And that's Bullet Train with Brad Pitt and Sandra Bullock. It's finally coming in theaters.
Yay.
I'm a little skeptical. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know how good it's going to be. Yeah.
But I just feel like there's so many pretty people in it that whatever. Like, I don't know. I just love Brad. I feel like Brad, he's in a sweet spot in life right now with his acting and everything. I think things are going well. So, and I love Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, and it's been a while since we've gotten Brad Pitt in a lead performance. I mean, he's been in a few things here and there.
Well, once
like
upon
smaller.
A time in Hollywood.
That's true, yeah. I guess that was the last thing a few years ago.
But you're right. But before that, it had been a while.
Yeah, yep, because he does so much stuff with his production company. So, yeah. But, we'll talk about Bullet Train next week here on the show.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.